From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he continues a message entitled, The Comfort and Confidence of Knowing God Knows, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Law in the Heart. The text is Psalm 37 and verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Put the law into the heart, and the whole man is right. This is where the law should be. For then it lies, like the tables of stone in the ark, in the place appointed for it. In the head it puzzles. On the back it burdens, in the heart it upholds. What a choice word is here used, the law of his God. When we know the Lord as our own God, his law becomes liberty to us. God with us in covenant makes us eager to obey his will and walk in his commands. Is the precept my Father's precept? Then I delight in it. We are here guaranteed that obedient-hearted man shall be sustained in every step that he takes. He will do that which is right, and he shall therefore do that which is wise. Holy action is always the most prudent, though it may not at the time seem to be so. We are moving along the great high road of God's providence and grace when we keep to the way of his law. The word of God has never misled a single soul yet. Its plain directions to walk humbly, justly, lovingly, and in the fear of the Lord are as much words of wisdom to make our way prosperous as rules of holiness to keep our garments clean. He walks surely who walks righteously.
Bearing fruit for him.
this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, in his teaching about prayer, the Lord Jesus encouraged his disciples with the truth that your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. It is a great comfort to know that God always has his people in mind. Furthermore, the Lord always has our situation in hand, in spite of circumstances and appearances to the contrary. How this truth will calm an anxious spirit. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, "The Comfort and Confidence of Knowing That God Knows."
True prayer, and I must emphasize this, against much that has come into evangelical Christianity by the gateway of the charismatic movement, giving you the theories of prayer of some of their so-called great leaders who eulogize the methodology of the Buddhist monks who employ that very methodology and say that is Christian praying. I have to tell you, true prayer, Christian prayer, is not a mantra to be chanted or incanted. True prayer is the humble, simple approach of a child of God to his Father in heaven in the assurance that his Father loves him and his Father hears him. Listen to the Savior's words. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. We don't need to convince the Lord to hear us. We don't have to extort something from an unwilling God. And when we tell the Lord our needs in prayer, we're not informing Him of anything. He already knows those needs before we do. He knows them before they even come to exist in our experience. He certainly knows them fully before we ever ask for a thing. When we come, we're not informing the Lord of anything. But when we come to pray, we come to invoke His intervention. We do so that we may pray with intelligence, that we may pray with meaning, that we may pray with purpose. But we always remember, we don't simply repeat ourselves like heathens, because our Father knows the things we have need of before we ask Him. Now, the underlying truth of that text, of course, is that the effectiveness of prayer doesn't lie in the words or in their frequency. Does not rely upon the repetition of prayer. The truth here is that prayer's effectiveness depends on the Lord. It depends on His relationship with us. It depends on His infinite wisdom and His willingness as our Father to meet our needs. That's what true praying depends upon. And the Lord Jesus teaches us this very simply, to bring comfort and confidence into the life of a Christian, especially in the matter of his communion with God. So this morning I want us to take the words of verse 8, and I want us to consider the comfort and the confidence of knowing God knows. The comfort and the confidence of knowing God knows. The very first thing that comes to mind is that the Lord always has us, His children, in His mind. No doubt the text shows us the omniscience of God. He knows the things you have need of before you ask. That is an aspect of the omniscience of God. He knows everything. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not here specifically dealing with God's omniscience. There is a wonderful sidelight on praying here that we could actually take time to think of if we had a lot more time. The idea that there is some reference to God's omniscience leads you to the idea of the sovereignty and the foreknowledge of God, which leads you into the whole area of God's everlasting purpose. And the carnal mind says, well, if God foresees and God foreknows and God predestinates and God purposes and God decrees, then I don't need to pray. But that's the carnal reasoning of the unregenerate mind. It's the lie of the devil. The Lord Jesus actually turns it around, says, this is the very thing that will help you to pray. You're not praying to an infinite God. You're not praying to a God who's sitting with furrowed brow, wringing his hands in heaven, saying, oh, I wish there were something I could do about the situation. You're praying to the God of glory. You're praying to the everlasting King, the Creator, the Upholder, the Sovereign, Omniscient, Omnipotent Jehovah. That's not a hindrance to prayer. That is a help to prayer. So the idea of God's omniscience is certainly here. But as I say, the Savior is not making that truth specifically the basis of our comfort and confidence. He comes down to deal with it in some more detail. He doesn't simply say, your Father knows all things. No, he says, your Father knows the things that you have need of. His mind is not just on all things, that's true, but particularly, he has you in his mind. His eye is upon you. His heart is with you. His purpose is favorable to you. His love embraces you. His promise includes you. His grace sustains you. His power energizes you. Why? Because the Lord always has his children in mind. In the 40th Psalm, in verse 17, the psalmist cries, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Now just think of that. Scientists are forever telling us how vast the universe is. And it is incredibly vast. So vast that this world of ours, in proportion to the universe, is like a grain of sand on the seashore. Now, our minds cannot really deal with such vastness. And God is creator and upholder of it all. And his infinite wisdom and knowledge comprehends it all. Now, come down to this world. In proportion to all the people who lived and now live and will live in this world, what are you? What am I? Just but a grain of sand. Infinitesimal. In any other scheme of things, and certainly in the evolutionary scheme of things, in the atheistic scheme of things, you count for nothing. You can't count for anything. You're just a little grain of chance in an endless universe of chance. And you count for nothing. That's not the Bible's way, and it's certainly not the true way. Think of a grain of sand so small that single grain you lift at the seashore is a world in comparison. Then see yourself as so insignificant, so small, and yet the God of glory thinks not only on the whole, but he thinks on you. His eye discerns you. His heart warms to you. His hands reach out to you. His care embraces you. The Lord thinketh on me. Not just a passing thought. But as the psalmist says a little earlier in the 40th Psalm, he says, thy thoughts to usward are so many that if I would seek to count them, they are more than may be numbered. Not just a passing thought, but an ongoing thought, a constant thought. God always has his people in mind. You remember what he said through Isaiah in chapter 49 and 15? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The Lord deliberately chooses what we all recognize to be the strongest bond that we know in humanity, the bond of a mother to her newborn babe. Can she simply turn away and let it squeal and cry and say, I care not for you, starve and die? Can she do it? Sadly, yes, she may. Happens every day. It's why you'll find babies in trash cans. Yes, she may. But the Lord says, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. The Lord has His people in mind. What a joy that is. What a comfort it is. In the dark passages of life's troubles, Job was going through the most awful pains physically, the most awful turmoil mentally, the most terrible conflict spiritually. And yet, in the darkness, there came this ray of light. And in chapter 23 and verse 10 of that book, Job says, He knoweth the way that I take. Job could not understand it. It appeared that God was against him. God was not hearing his prayer. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. His friends misunderstood him. They called him a hypocrite, a liar, a cheat. They called him a defrauder. They called him every wicked thing under the sun. And the more they sought to comfort him, the more they drove him to distraction. But yet, there came this light from glory. He knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a comfort. There are times, of course, when we're tempted in the darkness of our troubles to think that God has forgotten us. There were times when Job felt that. The psalmist Asaph, in that bleak but ultimately very helpful 77th psalm, in verse 7 through 9, he cried, Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he shut, or hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? There are times in life when we get into a needy situation, where we feel we need an immediate answer, and it doesn't come. We need heaven to open, but it remains closed. Then sets in that awful thought of doubt, has God given me up? Is God deaf to my cry? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Is there never going to be the sunlight anymore? Remember, in that very time, the Lord asks a question. It's recorded in the 40th chapter of Isaiah and verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment passed over from my God? Why do you say it? Has the Bible changed? Have the promises changed? Has the merit of Christ changed? Has the purpose of God changed? Why do you say it? Well, it's because of how I feel. Have your feelings never been wrong before? It's because of how I'm reading my circumstances. I feel a need and I'm expressing the need, but yet my circumstances keep on getting worse. Have you never misread your circumstances before? As I pointed out last week, as children we so often think we know what we need, when we need it, only to find out a little later we didn't know the whole story. Remember this, whatever you're going through today, Jesus said, your Father knows.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.